afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host today, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Tuesday, July 3rd, 2018. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Miss Melody. Can you believe we're almost to the 4th of July already?
Well, wow. Let me be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas for this year.
Yeah, and Happy New Year. Exactly.
Good grief.
You'll be here tomorrow.
No, I know it. And it certainly is a hot and muggy day here on the eastern shore of Maryland.
It is down here. It's 95 degrees real temperature here, and it is muggy.
Yeah, I think we're holding around 96 for the real temperature, but... You take it, go outside, and it just kind of takes your breath away.
Yes, it does.
But it's much hotter in some other places around this country. And stay cool, drink lots of water, and listen to Financial Survival.
Absolutely. But, you know, this still beats a blizzard.
You think?
I think. I'd rather have a hot. I can sit in front of a fan. I don't like cold weather anymore. The older I get, the less my body likes cold weather.
Well,
no, that's
I'm
just
not
my
old
opinion.
Yet, so I'm not old yet, so I don't know.
One day it's going to come back to bite you. But anyway, go ahead.
Oh, I know it. And the bite that he does have at times. But gold today had a little bit of a bite. And I said yesterday I really had hoped we'd see both gold and silver, at least gold close above 1250 and silver above 16. And they both did that. So gold right now is up $11 off the high, but we're at 1253.60, so a nice showing in gold today. It was really good that it popped back above that. So I think the forward movement for gold here in the short term is still going to be higher. Silver is up 18 cents today at $16.10. We had a big reversal in platinum yesterday. It was down almost 5%. It's up almost 3%, almost 2.75% today, up $22 at $843. Platinum was still negative, though, down 6 at $944. And again, I really truly believe a lot of that has to do with the trade, with the tariffs, and with the automobile sector. So, there's a lot of other things going on, but that is one of them, and I think that's the most powerful at this time. But we did see pressure on the dollar today, too, down 0.28 at 94.58. Crude oil was up another 26 cents at 74.20. I saw a brief comment, a headline, that Iran is thinking about closing the strait. Is it the Strait of Hormuz? To control a little more of those oil segments. And, of course, you know, we've seen the administration come out and talk about, oh, we're going to have the Saudis increase production and so forth. Well, that really doesn't take into much account as far as what's happening in Canada with the fire that they had and, of course, the pressure in some of these other nations, Libya. So, oil's up 26 at 74.20. We're going to talk a little bit later on the program how that is going to be impacting
our gas and wheat. Closing down those straits might be an act of war.
It's a big deal. We don't know if they will, but they're certainly putting a lot of pressure, and they're visiting other nations as far as making sure that they can continue to sell their oil and in a roundabout way of the sanctions that the U.S. has put on them and forbids anyone else to buy from them. So we'll see how that works out for everyone.
I mean, the audacity of us, don't you dare buy from them. Oh, come on.
And we'll see. The Dow today, you know, it's funny, it was positive most of the day, even just by a little. Last hour of trade, it dropped triple digits. The Dow was down 132 points, 24,174. The NASDAQ was down 65, $7,502. The S&P was down 13 at 27.13. Tomorrow being a holiday, they did what they had to do. They kept the stock market high. Yes, there's pressure on it today, but no one's paying any attention to the markets today. They've already started their holiday, or they've been on it all week. So you have the 10-year yield, 2.84%. Do you think we have any listeners, Butch?
I think we got two or three out there.
You think we got two? I'm listening to you. I'll listen to you. And we know Todd, the producer, is going to be there.
Right. Okay, Todd's probably taking a nap right now, waiting for the next break. Anyway.
No. The euro is 117. That's up a little bit. Really not a lot. We're still seeing the little uncertainty creep into the markets, and it's really bizarre, Butch. It's like there's so much that is going on, yet it seems like there's so little that's going on. Does that make sense?
It does. There's a lot of flashing hands and figures, but no substance really to anything yet, unless it's all building up to a big crescendo. I don't know, but it's just a whole lot of stuff happening in a lot of different directions, a lot of unrest around the world and in this country. We'll cover it maybe today too, but so much happening. It's just little increments. It's not like an earth-shattering moment altogether.
No, I think everybody is really focused probably more now on the stock market than they've ever have. And I was reading an article where the administration has had referenced the Dow, the stock market, so many numbers in 2017, just a huge amount of like every other day, you know, the stock market and the records. But in 2018, there's not a lot of attention given to the stock markets coming out of the administration. So, but it's interesting because all eyes are there, and as long as those numbers are high, everybody feels good and gives everybody warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, it does. It makes everybody feel like they're safe going into the 4th, and we can celebrate our liberty and our freedoms and run, fly the flag and talk about how free we are. We're seeing that we really think we're free people. And nonetheless, I have a couple articles here. If you'd like me to read them, it may take a few minutes, but I think they're kind of important. One is entitled How Trade Wars Become Hot Wars. And this is a historical fact, and if you'd like to read it, it'll probably take about, I'd say, 3 or 4 minutes. I'd like to read it, and you take a break and listen to me if you like.
Yes, go right ahead.
All right, this is an article that I thought was very well written, entitled How Trade Wars Become Hot Wars. America is in a funk, slipping into an economic and cultural morass and at risk of losing its footing on the global chessboard. American workers find themselves working harder than ever and still falling short further and further behind. How can this be? Now, I can amen that personally. I can't. Anyway, frailing for an answer, they find it in the mouth of a politician who tells them he can make America great again. The problem is trade imbalance. Americans are getting hammered by their foreign competition, the politician says, and they need strong tariffs to save the economy and restore the might of the USA. These tariffs outrage even friendly nations and provoke retaliatory measures that spiral into an all-out trade war. Is that 2018, Donald Trump? No. 1930, Senator Reed Smoot. How about that? What? Did they glaze over this one in the history class? Gee, I wonder why. Long story shortish, the post-World War I Reconstruction boom led not to a happy increase in global trade, but an increase in global trade tensions. Reparations and war debts could only realistically be paid in goods, so everyone wanted a trade surplus. Though in the gradual breakdown of the international gold standard, vicious competition among nations that had been in all-out war only years earlier, in the beginnings of the Great Depression and 1930, you had the perfect storm of economic conditions to bring about a global trade war, and that is exactly what happened. The Republicans, led by Hoover, had come to power in 1928, promising American agricultural workers that the government would protect them from foreign competition. Senator Reed Smoot, a Mormon apostle from Utah and chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, championed higher tariffs across the board and sponsoring a bill which Congressman Willie Hawley from Oregon, he got his wish. The bill was originally intended to satisfy the agricultural workers, but industrial producers soon piled on with their demands. After the dust settled, the Smoot-Hawley Act of 1930 went down as one of the most extensive pieces of protectionist legislation in the history of America. The act raised tariffs on over 20,000 goods. Now listen to this. The average price raise was 59.1%, and when the bill was signed into law by President Hoover on the June 17, 1930, the price of some goods quadrupled overnight. And then all the country's economic problems went away, and America experienced the greatest period of growth in the history of the world. USA, USA, USA. Oh, wait, sorry about that. This just in. Things did not go very well at that. In fact, despite Hawley's insistence that the act would usher in a renewed era of prosperity, make America great again, and Smoot's claim that the Depression would have been worse without the higher tariffs, the exact opposite occurred. Global trade shrank a startling 66% in the first 5 years, and Smoot, Haley, and the bill is now universally blamed for exacerbating, lengthening, and deepening the Great Depression. That's very well written. I want to say this is historical fact, Melanie. Well, how do you deal with it? You ignore it?
Well,
toughy, isn't it?
There was tariffs on over 20,000 imported goods.
Yes.
I don't think we've gotten to that degree of products. There's certainly the products are targeted. However, that the products that are targeted are certainly like vehicles. That's a big deal. So it's not, and there isn't anything yet done.
Well,
but it is bringing attention. The thing of it is, it's bringing attention to our problems. And perhaps these trade agreements can be rewritten and perhaps done a little bit better. But I'm under my impression, what I believe, is it doesn't matter.
Well, you know,
we are in a place and time. Because we have so much debt on the back of this country. You can write all the trade agreements and put all the tariffs on that you want, and I don't think it's going to make a difference.
Well, you know, with this, it started off with...
We can't grow ourselves... Yes, we can't grow ourselves out of the problem.
No, you can't. And with this, started out with one tariff on agricultural goods and went to 20,000 after it's all done. I don't think this got that big. But, again, worse of far in debt. We can't turn it around. We just can't do it. It isn't going to happen. I know people don't want to hear that, and I don't like to say it, but it doesn't change the facts, does it?
What I like about what President Trump is doing is he's doing something, whether it's right or wrong, whether it's going to work or whether it isn't going to work. It's not the same old thing. And I don't believe, and I'm not sure the nations back in the 20s, how dependent at that point in time they were on the United States like they are today.
In that point in time, they didn't have food stamps, Medicaid, Medicare, and all the other things either.
Yep.
Okay, so that can make a difference. But in the long run, that just exacerbates the problem because it's more expensive for the government to keep up.
Yeah, exactly.
And Ron Paul wrote an article here, too, that's very short. I think it's very important. Ron Paul exposes the human suffering of cultural Marxism. Now, this is a good article. Are you stunned by that, what had become of American culture? Are you confused as how every moral principle could be turned on its head so quickly? Well, it's not an accident. You probably heard of cultural Marxism, but do you know what it means? Marxists, after the tremendous failure of their economic ideas, decided to change their angle of attack. There was no way that people could be convinced that socialism is economically superior to capitalism. Socialism produced tyranny and debt in the hundreds of millions, while capitalist nations were bursting with wealth. So Marxists shifted to targeting culture instead of economy. If cultural Marxists could destroy the culture of capitalist nations, then they would try to use opportunity to change the governments and economics to the socialist utopia. The people can't think straight. Perhaps then socialism could be shackled unto them. Marxists just shifted their targets. The original arguments of workers being exploited by capitalists didn't sell. It's obviously not the case. So Marxists just shifted their exploitation stick to culture. Women exploited by men. Gays exploited by heterosexuals. The old exploited by the young and vice versa. The list goes on and on. Anything that is true is to be twisted like a pretzel to the point where people can't tell what is true anymore. How do you think it's working, Melanie? Have they done a good job of this?
I thought it was propaganda, but also you can look at cultural Marxism as also political correctness.
Yes, you can. Good point.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's pretty much the same. It's the same thing.
And but I just brings confusion to the people, which makes the people more so busy they can't really check out what's going on behind the scenes, basically. So they're easily swayed into things. The new president of Mexico told his citizens to leave the towns and find their life in the United States. Now, this is no fact. He was just elected. His name is Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador, known as the Mexican Hugo Chavez. Now, listen, catch that. As the Mexican Hugo Chavez previously told citizens of the country they must leave the towns and find their life in the United States. He wants to socialize the oil industry in Mexico. He wants to give amnesty to all the drug cartels. And he says he wants the Mexican people to move to America. Now, I'm not making this up. This is a fact. This article you can find on prisonplanet.com. It's a fact. So I don't know what that's going to lead to, but they said one wonders why, if AMLO's socialist populist revolution is so fantastic, why do one want to flee Mexico? But anyway, he said 51% of the U.S. millennials who support communism or socialism should try to immigrate to Mexico now that their guy is in charge. That's a good point. Why are they trying to come here? For the socialists in this country, why don't they go to Mexico? Or better yet, go to Venezuela. I mean, they like socialism. Go there. And now the socialist Dems say Bernie Sanders is too right-wing. I'm not making this up. I mean, this is true. Bernie Sanders is too right-wing for the socialist Democrats now. Now, you and I both knew for years the Democrats were just another word for socialists. But, and I'm saying, I'm not keen on Republicans either, but I'm just telling this the way it's been leaning for a long time. So we see this coming together, and we see that the people cheering these ideas. Now, Mexico just elected an all-out socialist. They want to socialize it. The oil companies, everything. And now the Democrats are saying Bernie Sanders is too far right for them. So there's a shift in this nation. I know Trump's going to appoint some Supreme Court justice, and you know, some people worried about what he's going to do with that. I personally like the idea he might do it and change some things back in our favor. But the point of it is, the socialists in this nation are getting very bold with their comments and their stance, are they not?
Well, they're now referred as democratic socialists. So
there you go.
It's a more pleasant, yes, palatable type of name that they can all fall under. And and you know, it's amazing. You have the woman in New York. I can't recall her name. That beat out the incumbent. They're floating her all around. She's from a very wealthy family, and yet she went into an area to represent, you know, the very poor. And you know, so they just don't come out and tell you the truth about themselves and where they've come from and the life that they had, and they're supposed to be able to relate to, you know, the poor people that they go after just for the vote alone.
Sure.
And it's just like anyway, we're heading into a break right now. We'll be back right after just a few short minutes. Thank you for joining and listening. Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul, but we did lose him here, and we're going to reconnect with him. But, you know, earlier we were talking about gasoline prices, oil prices, gasoline prices, and consumers are hit with the highest 4th of July gas prices in 4 years. There's a lot of uncertainty surrounding the U.S. and efforts to sanction the Iranian oil, as well as unexpected outages in other oil-producing countries. We talked and told you about the Canada having the outages in their oil-producing region. It also has driven West Texas intermediate crude futures to 3.5-year highs. So there's a lot of things that are going on, and we're going to continue to see the July 4th national average for unleaded gasoline. In 2011, it was $3.56 a gallon, and in 2018, it's $2.86 a gallon. And the last time we were in the threes for the fourth was 2014. It was actually $3.66. So it peaked and dropped. You have refineries in the U.S. They're running at full throttle.
Was that average price back then $3.66, or was that the highest price? I don't remember.
That was the highest price in 2014.
Okay.
For the fourth.
Okay.
And yeah, it is. Now it's $2.86 a gallon, so just shy of $3. But you have the refineries in the U.S. running at full throttle. They're taking in last week 18 million barrels of oil to process. You have U.S. drivers consume 9.7 million barrels of gasoline per day, close to the year's high of 9.85 million barrels that was reached in April. So we also export gasoline, and for the week ended June 27, 613,000 barrels a day were sent out of the country, mostly to Mexico and other parts of Latin America. You have Mexican refineries there operating at 41%. Venezuela refinery utilization is somewhere under 20%. So there's not a whole lot of room for error, not a lot of margin for error. So,
well, you know, again, Arco, you're talking about the gas prices, and it says U.S. gasoline prices are at a four-year high. This year is as a result of a higher price of oil, which has reached a 3.5-year high in recent weeks. The increased pump prices are now eating into the disposable income of the average American household that will have a total of $440 less to spend this year on other goods and services because this money is expected to go for buying higher-priced gasoline. The higher spending on gas could offset one-third of the gains from the tax cuts. Yeah, duh. With low middle-income families feeling the pinch much higher, much more than the higher-income earners. And that's, a third of the tax cuts. Okay, what do they say? Average is $1,000. They say it takes out $400 of it. Regardless, it still puts a pinch on somebody. $440 penalty is not a lot of money, perhaps. But when you have to pay your electric bill, you owe a couple $100 and don't have it, it's a lot of money, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is.
You know, and I don't know about anybody else, but I've been in places where I was sweating buying groceries in the past. Maybe nobody out there has can relate to that. But I've been in places where I couldn't afford to buy tires for the car. But we got a storm passing by. If you hear thunder, it's just a storm going by here. But I've seen times when $400 was a lot of money to me. How about you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But there's predictions that we're going to see $85 per barrel Brent in the second half of the year. We continue to see lower output from Iran, Libya, Angola. Increases for forecasts for Saudi Arabia, but the market is tight. And as we mentioned before, the U.S. is demanding that customers of Iranian oil end all of their purchases by November 4th. So we're heading into a time where, you know, people are looking to buy heating oil. And so that's going to be higher. And so their little cost of living for the winter just increased substantially right before the holidays. So
That's why I use wood and coal. I have propane back up here, but wood's free off my own land and a ton of coal a year for about $60-$70, and I'm set for the winter. That's why I use it.
So if they have a deadline on November 4th for Iran, I don't know what's going to happen on the deadline. So we could see, you know, that push, you know, they're estimating $85 a barrel. That could push oil prices way above 90. So I'm not sure what the ultimatum is on November 4th if these customers of Iranian oil don't end their purchases. So November 4th is pretty much a key date to look for.
It is, and that would put the price up to about $4 a gallon, probably, wouldn't it?
Probably.
Yeah.
Well, it's not only that. That's a line drawn in the sand. So what are we going to do to those customers that continue to purchase from Iran? So there has to be some sort of if you don't quit by November 4th, then this is going to happen to you.
I still can't get over the fact that we got the nerve to say that to somebody. How dare we tell them not to buy from somebody they want to? I mean, if these are supposed to be sovereign nations, who are we to tell them they can't have this and can't do that? You know, I mean, come on, people. Make sense about this. If they say no, we're not going to listen to you, what are we going to do? Cut off the Thanksgiving party or something? And what are we going to do? Really, what can we do, Melody?
We put sanctions on them.
Well, I know that.
And to me, sanctions are, you know, you're an act of war.
It can be, absolutely. But what if they return the favor?
That's what I mean. These are acts of war. So how they're going to respond, you know, is anyone's guess. But we'll just have to wait till November 4th and to see what builds up to that. That is right at election time. Mm-hmm. So we'll also have to see where these gasoline prices are going. And high gasoline prices, you know, to me, will not make the November stock markets very pleasing for the election. So
that time will tell.
It's difficult. This is an election year. Usually election years are quiet. This is anything but quiet.
Well, I have a question to ask you here, too, that Trump came up with an idea that I've been heard tossed around for a lot of years, and he might work on it. He might actually go in that direction. He's unveiled a proposal to privatize the United States Postal Service. And the Postal Service lost money for how many years now? And it basically already is privatized. It's been a way for a while, but they look to make a profit. Government-run entities are not to be to make a profit, are they? I didn't know they were in a private business, but if you go into a post office now, they call you customers. And to me, that's a private company that calls you that and looks to make a profit. So if this were truly a government entity, they would not be looking to make a profit. They'd just be looking to pay the bills. But he wants to totally privatize it. I know the UPS delivery service is infinitely better than Postal Service a lot of times. What's your comments on that?
You know, I think the post office, we have to understand what they do. And, you know, I'm going to stick up for the post office. There's a lot of lazy, you know, processors and some, you know, I've been dealing with one of lately, getting a package delivered in Nevada and so forth. And we had to track it and so forth. And it's no big deal. It's just whether you find somebody who wants to do it or not. At first, we found somebody who didn't want to do it. Now, if you keep going a little bit further, you eventually do. And it's, you know, easy peasy. But the problem is, you know, they're required. required to make their payments on their pension plans years in advance. You know, they got, so that has put them billions of dollars in the hole. They're one of the few, if any, that their pensions are is funded. And but it gives them a disadvantage. Also, it is true with their agreement with Amazon, the postal rates have been skyrocketing.
Well, they have
seen
been.
It. I've seen it
that.
in my registered and insured U.S. mail.
Absolutely,
it's incredible how high they've gotten this past 6 months.
It cost us, Melody, $2.69 to mail CD or DVD. A flat, just a little DVD, CD, $2.69 because it's unbendable.
And yet, Amazon, you know, they pay very low rates because of the volume that they do. They get their packages delivered on Sundays.
Yep.
They have to bring in, and it has put a toll on the United States Post Office. And because I don't think they're, you know, what I was told, they have to bring these people in. They pay them overtime, and it adds to the bills, and that's why they're constantly losing money. You know, plus the unions. You add the unions in there, and you know, you got some. You know, I don't know.
Can I ask you a loaded question? Not necessarily ask to you, but just ask everybody this question. This is a question that people may want to contemplate because it doesn't sound rational, maybe, the way I'm saying this, but almost say this. Why should any entity, government or private, promise retirement to anybody? Why couldn't the people exercise self-discipline enough to save their enough money to retire on instead of expecting to be paid forever by a corporation that is can't do it, whether it's corporation or government, both of them the same thing, basically. Why is it, who put the idea that anyone, any private company or state or federal government has a duty to pay the rest of your life? This question, I know it's really weird thinking, and I know personally I would have a hard time making it if I didn't have that already coming in, but since when was anybody to promise us a forever living?
Well, I don't have a problem with pension plans.
No,
you know?
I don't either.
I mean,
if they're private.
But look at the way that it has, you know, you have these corporations who have abused the system. You have Wall Street who has abused these programs. You have, you know, promises that can never be kept because they were overpromised, mismanaged. Just like anything else, you get all this free money coming in that you think is always going to be coming in. And, yeah, you know, those that manage it, you know, have a tendency to, you know, not do a very good job. I mean, look at these states. Look at Texas. Look what they did with that money for their pensions, for the
yep.
state pensions. They went and bought islands. They went and bought stupid things. They didn't stick it into a bank and collect interest, compound interest. They eliminate these programs because it was all for the sake of Wall Street. It was all for the sake of bankers. It wasn't for the people that were working and thought that they'd get a decent, you know, where a business could go out and look for a good employee and use that as a leverage to attract a better, you know, someone that they might want. I mean, I changed jobs because I could get better benefits with another company. You know, and so forth in my career when I was in the insurance business, even the banking business.
Well, you know, you mentioned about pension plans. I agree. I mean, if you work for a company and you put in so much and they match or whatever, that's private and it's paid for. It's there. It's already in the account. But when even the government, when they promise you retirement money, I know everybody depends on it today. I know I do too. But before we had Social Security, no one, you know, was upset when it wasn't there. They just made a living on their own and took care of their own families like we're supposed to today. But the Social Security Administration hasn't had any money in reserves. They spent it all. It's basically gone. So, again, I see where it's going to hurt if it ever ends, Melody, but how long can it go on? It's a pyramid scheme that's been wasted and misused. How long can it go on?
And not only that, we've had it, even in your private pensions and all these other programs, you have a currency that loses value, that has created inflation.
Good point.
We've had companies move offshore, so we have less people coming in the workplace in order to pay for those pensions and so forth. And so there's a lot of issues. The same way with Social Security, the money was spent. Why? Because, you know, they went into debt. They had to borrow in order to do these programs to keep the system going. So, again, it all comes back to the amount of debt that this country's in, not only, you know, private and public. So how is it going to be fixed? It's going to be defaulted on.
It has to be.
It's the only way it's going to work. It's not going to go on forever. It's going to be defaulted on. It's debt too great to be paid. They're going to renegotiate those bonds, which probably a third of pensions are filled with bonds, government bonds. They're all going to lose. And you're not... These are the warnings that we see today, the things that don't make sense, the dots, the little adjustments that we see here and there.
Well, when you put them all together, when you put all these together and look at the whole picture, it's like a puzzle. When you get the pieces put in place, you see the whole picture. Economically, this nation is doomed for a huge collapse. And Melanie, it's going to hurt all of us. It's going to hurt me and you, everybody out there. It's going to hurt almost everybody. When the Depression came, it even just destroyed millionaires. They committed suicide because of it.
It's because they didn't have any gold and silver either.
That's
right. They didn't have any gold and silver, but it affects us by prices, higher prices, social unrest. I mean, social unrest, my gosh, take a look around.
Yes, absolutely.
That part's already here. It's contained.
Well, somewhat, yes.
Somewhat. And yet, as long as it's not happening, as long as, you know, we're being told that everything is great and things are going to be better and all the things that are done is going to be better. And again, I have to say to Trump, he's doing, you know what, he's doing something.
He is doing something. He is. And I know what's going to happen, you know.
And as long as he's doing something, it's a good thing.
I have to give him credit for trying. He's trying. I like to think he's trying anyway. You know, one more article we'll get to before the next break here. You heard that, of course, Sears is closing down more stores, and so is Kmart. You probably already knew that, right?
Yes.
Okay, because people are buying online. And it's talking about his article about malls are closing all the country because people are now going to Amazon and other places buying their goods. But do you remember back in the 70s when the mall started and local businesses downtown closed their doors?
Yep.
What goes around comes around, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
So, you know, I'm sorry about it. I really am. I hate to see it happen. I hate to see anybody lose their job and things go out of business. But when Walmart come to Somerville, a little town near me, Super Walmart, the stores downtown withered up. Uh-huh. Sad, but true. And now these malls out here are starting to wither up. They took away business from downtown because everybody's going online. So I don't know what's going to take down Amazon, but eventually something will come in along better than Amazon. It's going to cut them back some, too. But it's just amazing to me that what we see happening now happened 50 years ago from the malls coming in.
And I hear the music, and that means we're heading into a break, and we'll be right back.
Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Tell me again tonight. Each and every heart is
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. Since tomorrow is Independence Day, we're going to play a replay on the program. Not sure which one that will be, but so if you don't have anything to do tomorrow at 4 o'clock, we're going to have a replay. It'll probably be the one with Greg Hunter, because everyone just enjoys Greg so much. And from last week, I believe he was on. So we'll have him on there. So any special plans that you're going to have for tomorrow?
Well, I think we're going to have a little family get-together, I believe. And my grandson is here with us from Colorado. He's working two jobs now. He's working at McDonald's and at a fireworks retailer. And he loves fireworks. He's been taking part of money and budgeting it for fireworks. So I guess we're going to have our own fireworks display tomorrow sometime or sometime soon. In the Somerville, in town about 20 minutes from me, they're going to have a fairly large one over there, I guess. We have now in this state, we have legalized a lot of fireworks before we're legal. People are going to have bigger, maybe better shows now. So I don't know. That's our plans. We'll see what happens. But I like people to stop and think too, Melody, what tomorrow really is and what it meant 250 years ago. You know, I mean, when people signed that document, we're taking a huge chance with their futures, and a lot of them lost everything because of it. You know that.
Yes, they did.
You know, families and their lives even. So, Independence Day, if you ask people what July 4th is nowadays, most of them don't have any idea. And I'm serious. You check it out. Go online and look at some of the surveys. They have no idea what July 4th really is. They don't know. They just know it's a holiday, and it's a good time to grill hamburgers and put off fireworks. They don't want to even talk about. It's so sad. We've lost our history. But in a nation that forgets its history, it's like a tree without a taproot. It's going to wither up and die.
They forgot the past history, and they're trying to create a new one.
Yes, that's it. That's how it works.
And there's books and studies that are being done in order to go back to the old history and change it. They're reinterpreting it.
Yes. Why do you think they're tearing down the Southern symbols?
Yes.
And what's
yes.
all about? That's all. It's not about slavery. It's not about hate. It's about restructuring history the way they want to play it out before the people. And they're doing a good job of it.
But they're going back to the founding fathers. I've heard of books and studies, and they're going back to the founding fathers and saying this was the first racism in America.
And they were terrorists.
Just like,
they call them terrorists.
Terrorists,
yes.
and racists, and it's just I don't know what's more shocking, that they're actually spending millions of dollars doing this, or the fact that no one is, and they're just letting them do it, and no one is standing up.
Well, apathy is destroying the country in about every way you can think of. Apathy and ignorance, but a lot of apathy. Because ignorance can be cured. Apathy usually isn't. So that's where we are today. You know, it's so sad. I just, different topic, but it's along the same lines of an American kind of going to pieces. Did you read about the housing in San Francisco, how much a family's got to make to qualify for low-income housing in San Francisco?
Did you see that? A lot.
Now, this is unbelievable. I mean, I read it. I'm looking at it. Right now I'm looking at it. You can qualify for low-income housing in San Francisco if you make $117,400 a year and less. The minimum income in San Francisco is $118,400. So $1,000 less, you qualify for low housing. Melanie Cedarstrom, that's a good paycheck. And you qualify for low housing, requirements if you make less than $118,000 a year, roughly. That is so hard to believe. How many people out there do you think don't make you half that much, or a third that much every year? I mean, this is huge. San Francisco is overpriced beyond belief. It can't go on like that.
Well, you know, it was interesting. I was watching one of the morning talk shows, and he was patting himself on the back because they were actually talking about immigration, and he was patting himself on the back because he went to California up through Silicon Valley and so forth, and guess what was the one thing that he saw? He saw immigrants, and I'm thinking, what an idiot. I mean, my God, you go to Silicon Valley? I mean, you talk about the wealth. And you talk about, you know, they're all in there on H-1B visas anyway.
Right.
But, I mean, he was relating that the people on visas and so forth with those that are coming across the border. I mean, it was, you got to be kidding me. So well, when you brought up San Francisco, I thought of that idiot statement.
and they get paid for that.
They get paid well.
Yeah, they do. Unbelievable. I mean, I've heard these kind of comments. I'm thinking, and these people are getting paid by CNN and whoever to say this? It's unbelievable. But, you know, here we are talking some real news and not common sense and real facts. You know, no one out there in the mainstream media has given us any credit for telling the truth at all. So it's a sign of a time of a decaying nation that believes lies over truth because it makes them feel better. You know that.
I know that.
So, by the way, did you see where Trump is going to invite other motorcycle companies to the country? Since Harley's going to leave, he's going to invite other motorcycle companies to America to build the motorcycles here. Part of Harley's moving overseas, and whether that's good or bad, that's not the debate right now. But Trump said, I'm going to have others come over here and build them here and sell them here.
So, but what about tariffs?
It doesn't say anything about tariffs. It said they won't come here and work. You're going to make a way for them to come in and work. Who knows? He may not charge them tariffs if they come in and open up business here. I don't know. So, it is kind of a shock that Harley would consider leaving, but I guess they're trying to save their business. You know, some years ago, Harley just about went under. You know that.
They did. I remember Bob Chapman saying it's if they don't go under then, it's just a matter of time.
They went from making a high-quality bike to trash and about lost it. It's like Chrysler did back in, the 80s?
Yep, yeah.
You know, so, and the government bailed Chrysler out. Yes, the government bailed Chrysler out. They went into, took private money from its citizens and bailed out a private corporation. And I'm not saying that's good or bad. They did save some industry, I suppose, and a lot of jobs. But government is not supposed to be in the business of bailing out other businesses or banks. That's not government's business. But if they don't do it, the economy will collapse overnight. So we have been played into a huge shell game here, Melody, and we're losing. As individuals, as citizens of this country, we're losing ground every day. You know that also.
Yes, I do. And you know what? If they would have left Chrysler fail, there would have been jobs that are lost, but it wouldn't have set up precedents to where when we got to 2008 that we'd be bailing out other companies and corporations and so forth. So, you know, hey, if you can't make it in business and you make bad business decisions, you deserve, I mean, I don't know if you deserve it, but, you know, go take responsibility like everybody else is supposed to, you know?
Well, no, no one's here to bail me out yet. Hey, has the government ever called you up and said, Melody, I know you're enticed by it. Here's $1 million or whatever?
Yeah. Not lately.
No. No one's ever said, I hear that you need some tires for your car and you're broke. Let us help you out a little bit.
Oh, I don't know what a mad world we live in. You know, it's
we
crazy.
Do.
It's
we
nuts.
Do.
And, there isn't and anything that makes sense.
That's exactly what, and I'm going to share this one because, I mean, you are a sponsor of a program and you're a personal friend I've dealt with for years. As you know, over the years, I've tried to buy and purchase a little bit of gold and silver. I don't have all I want, but I do have enough now. It makes me feel good. If I leave this world, who knows when you leave this world, it could be any day, that my wife will be okay the rest of her life. Not wealthy. She won't have a lot of money to spend, but she'll be able to survive with what I put back for her. And with the way things are going right now, that makes me feel kind of good inside. And again, thank you for getting me started on that. Thank Bob Chapman for working with me on that. So these are real things that's insanity going on here, and the Fed bailing out everybody except us. When the bottom does fall out or somebody passes away, are you leaving your family in a financial situation where they can at least pay the bills? Is that a fair question?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm working with several people right now where spouses and one is a mother passed away, and I'm working with their estates and so forth. And it's so important to know that you can pass this on, and those with children and grandchildren. You know, we all know, we say the government is kicking the can down the road. So that means your children and your grandchildren is going to be responsible. Why not help them out? Instead of cashing in your gold and giving them cash now, how about, you know, if you wait, you can distribute it to them very privately.
Yep.
And they have something in the future that they can truly depend on. If we make it that far.
Yeah, we make that far. That's true.
We probably won't.
You know, it's something that, at least something tangible you leave behind. It's not some kind of bond or a stock that could collapse or lose value every day. And it's not in paper money. It's real currency, real money, or real things of value, or substance. So I said that because when I see all this stuff falling apart, I want to make sure that my wife, Marsha Jean, she and I have been together almost 47 years and kind of got used to having her around, you know, it's okay. And that's important to me. And the Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. I don't have a lot to leave, but I do have something to leave my children. They can leave for their children. And that's what the Word of God tells me to do, Melody. And I feel, not proud, that's the wrong word, but good inside that I was able to do that with them. But no more than I made over the years financially, my pays are very small. But I listened to some wise people. And because I did, we're not going to go under right now.
Is it good inside or is it peace of mind?
It's peace of mind. It is. But it is peace of mind. But it's a feeling that you have when you love somebody and you know you did something good for them.
Yeah.
You know, it makes you feel good inside. It does.
Yes, it does. It does.
So, folks, that's why I tell you to call Melody. I mean, I promise you, you won't regret the phone call. I promise you, she will not yell at you. She won't try to say something you don't want. Ask her some questions. She's just down to earth as she can be. And you need to call her up. Talk to her.
I just want to make this statement when you said ask questions. You know, I'm working with a gentleman in Hawaii, and he comes with me with questions, and they're great questions, but the questions are being generated by other analysts and powerful analysts, and no reason why you shouldn't listen to what they have to say, but a lot of their commentary when it comes to buying gold and silver is truly based on what they're promoting, on what their agenda
sure,
is.
Sure.
And so he's very confused. He's got great questions. Not confused, but he's got great questions. And I think one of the biggest things is I hear all the time, you know, as far as how funds are transferred, and everyone's concerned that their privacy is going to be, you know, invaded, and they're going to be tracked and traced. And, you know, the more you try to cover everything up, the more noticeable you are.
You just
proceed with your purchases and do what you need to do. That's the best way to stay under radar. And you're not doing anything wrong anyway.
So, you're doing the best you can, what is the right thing to do at the moment. That's all anybody can do. Tomorrow will take care of itself, but do what you have to today.
You do what you have to do. And, you know, so a lot of those questions call me, you know, hearing these things from these other people and so forth. You know, I look at it in a more constructive way than a fearing way that they're trying to create. You know, they want to create this fear and so forth. So, hey, you don't want to bank wire, you know, a lot of money to a gold dealer. But you know what? I have these paper stocks that you can buy. You know,
yeah.
Or it's so.
Well, time will tell. I don't know, and I will get the two more stories here, and I'll get. But I want to tell you that you probably saw this at the bid to split California into three states is gaining traction. It's actually going to be, looks like, the ballot this year. They got enough signatures out there to get it done. So I don't know about California being three states. It's a long hurdle before it gets there, but they made the first step. So. It's interesting that this could happen. And one more thing we'll say during that time is looks like Italy is about ready to go bankrupt.
Again?
Again. We said that the new Italian government will increase public spending and public debt, but it's going to cut taxes. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? But anyway, but they're about ready to go bankrupt. So I don't know. With California maybe making three states, I seriously doubt it. But they have got the signatures to do it. Tim Draper, I had a guy on the program a few months ago. He's the one that started this movement, mostly started. Wealthy man. Got the signatures to get this put up on the ballot. And now, so what could happen? Who knows? I mean, if they succeed in splitting, will other states follow suit? I mean, it's already been talked about in New York, splitting the state. So anyway.
And anyway, I hear the music. We're out of time, and we'll be heading into Independence Day tomorrow. I want to wish everyone a very blessed Independence Day tomorrow. Enjoy your day. Talk about it with your family and friends at least once. Say a little prayer. And I guess I'll be back with you, Pastor, on Thursday.
That's exactly right. See you all there.
All righty. Until then, ladies and gentlemen, be safe, good night, and God bless.
If I got me a wealthy man.